Welcome to another message from the heart. Life-changing messages from Pastor Darren Brown, Senior Pastor of Ignite Christian Church.
What I would like to talk to you about this morning, though, particularly with the kids in mind, is one of the things I notice when you get as old as I am, is that no one asks me what I want to be when I grow up. And when you get on in years, people judge you not on what you want to be when you grow up, but what you've actually achieved. How many of you know that? When I was 6 and 7 and even 15, what do you want to be when you grow up? Now I'm this age, they never ask me that. Kids are always asked what they want to be when they grow up. What do you guys want to be when you grow up? Do you want to be like a fireman or a doctor or a pastor? Or there's so many options. When you're young, there are so many options. If you have a dream of doing something really great, something really significant in your life, how many of you know you will never achieve that dream by thinking about it? You have to do something. Okay, it's really true. And I can prove this because I once bought a workout DVD. You know those workout DVDs? And I can tell you they don't work because I watched it 10 times and I don't feel any fitter. Not at all. So you've got to actually do something. Destiny is something that is spoken about in hushed tones a lot of times. People talk about your destiny. It's like it's karma. It comes upon you. It's, oh, it was destiny that, you know, you guys had a motorcycle accident. It was destiny, this sort of stuff. But I don't believe that stuff. Destiny is not something that the universe inflicts on you. The Bible teaches something quite differently. It teaches that destiny is something that is a result of the choices you make. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 19, it says this. You might know this verse very well. Moses is talking to the people of Israel. He says this: I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. You have a choice. Life or death, blessings or curses, which one do you want to choose? Then in case you might get it wrong, he gives you the answer. Now choose life, that both you and your seed or your descendants might live. See, every choice we make has consequences, either good or bad. And it's a tricky thing sometimes, because sometimes the consequences take a while to manifest themselves. And you'll see, trust me, you will see this over the next decade, because on the back of a completely biased media campaign, a one-sided social media campaign, our country made a decision, and you won't see the result of that for 10 years. But when you do, look out, it will be horrific. That's why we've got to invest in our kids right now. Because long term, I think the future is grim for some of our kids. But when you are young, you have an infinite range of choices. And many of you have a dream, especially you young guys, of something that you would like to become in your life. But whether the dream comes true is not dependent on whether you come from a good family. It's not dependent on how much money you have. It's not dependent on choices that your mum or your dad makes. Ultimately, kids, your future depends on the choices you make. If you make bad choices, you will wear it. If you make good choices, you will wear that too. So when you ask a child what they want to be when they grow up, have you ever asked, who's asked a child that? Some of you? Good. How many of the kids, when you say to a young child, what would you like to be when they grow up, and they say to you, I'd like to be a drug addict, or I'd like to be a prostitute, or I'd like to be homeless. Do they ever say that? No. But many of the kids who start with such dreams finish up in that situation. Why? It's not something they shot for. It's not something they wanted. It's not a dream they had. They do it because they made bad choices. So I want to look at the choices we make today. In particular, I want to look at putting ourselves in the hands of the master. Now, I don't know about you guys, but does anybody here like toys? I know Jeff and Karen are here. Well, hang on. Karen's not, but Jeff is. I actually love this stuff. You know what this stuff is? Play-Doh! Who doesn't know what this stuff is? This is really cool. I love Play-Doh. And the great thing is that when you first look at it, it's kind of slimy and coloured and stuff like that. But you can't see. The thing is, when I look at Play-Doh, I don't see Play-Doh. I see the things I can make with Play-Doh. You know what I'm saying? So you might sort of take this and Kaylee, whose birthday it is coming up here, now she's nearly two and she only has a few words in her vocabulary, ball, dog, that sort of stuff. So when you hand her a piece of Play-Doh, she wants to make it into a ball or a dog. And she can see, she looks at it and she says, oh, that's a ball, you know? Because and you can take this stuff and you can mess with it and you can sort of make it into a mess, or you can make it into something hugely significant like a ball. Well, sort of a ball. Clearly, I'm not very good at it. But in some ways, God's like that when he looks at us. He looks at who we are when we are young, and he doesn't see us as unformed, sort of slightly gooey messes. He sees us as a masterpiece because he sees what we could become. Just the same way you look at a piece of Play-Doh and imagine what could be. Now, back in Bible days, of course, they didn't have Play-Doh. Can you imagine a world without Play-Doh? Is it worth living in, a world without Play-Doh, I ask you? But they had something even more descriptive. They had potters and clay. So that's what I want to look at today, potters and clay. Isaiah 64, verse 8 says this. If you've got your Bibles there, check it out. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are the work of your hand. So if we are like clay in the hands of an expert potter, then he can make us into anything he wants us to be, can't he? Yes? He can see stuff in us that, but we always try and pull that back and say, well, we're going to be master of our own destiny. I'm going to make myself into what I want to make myself. Yet he is the master potter. God sees, when he looks at us, he sees the potential. God sees potential in us. Did you realize that? That's great news for adults, especially. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says this, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. So when God looks at you, folks, he doesn't see you the way you are currently. When we look at ourselves or others for that matter, we see the raw, flawed materials. When we look at each other or when we stand in front of the mirror, the person looking back at us seems far from perfect. Have you noticed that? If you think the person looking back from the mirror is perfect, you got another thing coming. You've got a different problem to this. Because we're not perfect. Is anybody here perfect? I'm not either. We are far from worthy and nowhere near greatness. We are born as sinners, and some of us through our lives have sinned more than others, but all of us are sinners. And I don't know one adult here who would look back on their life and say, yep, I got it all right. Be honest, adults, who's made mistakes in your life? All of us, right? Very true. But God, when he looks at us, he sees through the muck and the mire and the rubbish, and he sees not who we currently are, but the great things that we can become. He looks at a piece of dirt and he sees a pot or a vase or a plate or something like that. He has plans for our lives to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a wonderful future. If we trust him. So you need to realize, especially you kids need to realize, you're not a mistake. Some kids are told that they're a mistake. Mum and Dad says, oh, here's our little mistake. You are never a mistake. You might be a surprise, but you're never a mistake because God doesn't create mistakes. You are created in the image of Almighty God. When you're a kid, it's easier to believe that God has a plan and a hope for your life than when you're an adult. Because when you're an adult, the great advantage, of course, of being an adult is that you know how to completely mess your life up really well. Is that true? Doesn't take much. Hey, when it comes to screwing up lives, I am an expert because I am an adult. So all of us start in the same place, in the womb, and we start with unlimited potential. Look at Psalm 139. I love this psalm. This is a beautiful psalm. Psalm 139, verse 14 says this, I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. So even when you are in the womb, God has a plan for your life. Kids, God has a plan for your life, even when you're inside your mum's tummy. Because life doesn't start when you're born. It starts at conception. And God has a plan for you way back then. Isn't that incredible? That he knows the days that you have. He's got this plan laid out. So today, even if you feel worthless, even if you feel overlooked, or if you feel like a mistake, or if you feel like a failure, which some of you do, God sees in you not the failure and mistakes. He sees in you the potential. He focuses on his desire to create something beautiful of your life. There was an old song. Some of you know this old song. We don't do so many old songs here, but who knows an old song called Something Beautiful? Remember the words? Something beautiful. Something good. All my confusion. He understood. And I like the next bit. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful of my life. What a beautiful song. Offer him your brokenness and your strife and your mess, and he makes something beautiful. Because God sees the potential. So how are we like clay pots? Number one, God uses who you are. The raw materials, God sees them and he creates his masterpiece from raw materials. Clay, if in case you don't know, clay is found in the earth. But it's full of rubbish and it needs a lot of work before it can be molded into something wonderful. Let me describe to you, I don't know if you're aware of this, but this is the old way of making clay and making pots, which you can see today in India and other places. Clay is found in the ground, but it's not suitable for making a pot as it is. It is dug out of the ground and it is brought outside the pottery and allowed to weather for a couple of weeks. Then the dry material is dumped into a cement-lined tank or wooden trough and covered with water. When the lumps have softened, they are stirred in the water until they've all disintegrated and a thin, slimy mud or slip has been formed. Seawater is more effective for this process, so you'll often find pottery places beside the sea. The slip is then drawn off into settling tanks and all the stones and lumps are left behind. And when the clay has settled, the water is drawn off and the plastic-like material is worked by treading with the feet. Did you know that? That they tread clay with their feet. The prepared clay is finally packed away and allowed to stand for another 6 months before being used. So the fact is, you and I, all of us have lumps, don't we? We have lumps in our life. We have rotten stuff in our life. We have bad stuff in our life. And Romans 3 verse 10 says this, no one is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks God. There is none of us here could say, I am completely sinless. Because we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have turned aside, it says, together we've become worthless. No one does good, not even one. All of us. So I'm not going to point at you and say, you know, you're a sinful person. Because if I point at you, I've got three fingers pointing back at me saying I'm a sinful person. All of us are sinful. Every single one of us has dirt and mud and stones and we're less than perfect. But God is able to take imperfect people like you and me and do something beautiful in our lives. You might have sin, you might have past failures, you might have a bad upbringing, previous abuse, you might have a physical challenge that you face. We just had Christy out here on crutches. That doesn't make her less of a person, does it? It's just a different challenge. Doesn't mean God can't work in her life just because there's bits broken. And look, stuff like clay has to go through a process. And sometimes, folks, the process is difficult. Is that right? Sometimes the process is painful. But in the end, God has material that he can actually use. So God uses the right instruments. You may not know this, but God is kitted out with all the right gear and he knows what he's doing to reshape and reform your life. He's a professional. He's not an amateur. So what sort of tools does he use? Number one, he uses the shovel. Now, we all know how to use a shovel, I would imagine. But what God does is he extracts good clay from your life, but he has to do a bit of digging to get there. How many of you know you've had a bit of digging in your life through the years? Yeah? Ouch. Doesn't feel good. He digs out the rocks and pebbles that have to be extracted in order to create material that he can use. Now, when we sin, we usually feel so ashamed. We want to cover it over so no one finds out. Is that true? That's why nightlife is at night, because it's dark and no one can see it, right? We're ashamed of sin when we do it. Adam and Eve were the same. Do you remember that they were in the garden and they partook of the fruit and suddenly they figured out, we're naked. So they went and got some fig leaves. Who remembers that story? That's typical of people. We try and cover stuff over, cover it up, so that no one sees who we really are. But the problem with sin is that if you cover it up, it just festers. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. I remember getting a splinter one time, and I looked at it and I thought, it's down pretty deep. I don't like needles and digging around and stuff like that. So I'll just leave it there. Well, within a couple of days, there's like, you know, pus and rubbish coming out, and I should have dug it out in the first place. And sin's like that. It sits under the, if you shovel a dirt over it and try and hide it, it sits under the surface and it will destroy your life. It will. But we do it because we hope no one finds out. We stick it under there and say, let's hope nobody actually figures out that I've done this sin, because we're embarrassed. But then it produces toxins that poison our life. Psalm 38 verse 18 says this, I confess my iniquity, I am troubled by my sin. And if you have sin today in your life, if you're struggling with sin and you know it, I'm telling you, you are troubled. There is no doubt. Your conscience is not clear. You're troubled. This thing will sneak around and it will just take hold of your life if you don't deal with it. We would all recognize that the only way to remove sin and impurities from our lives is to confess it, face the sin, and deal with it. Now, sin causes pain, and unless you deal with it, the pain will increase. Okay? If you cover it up and don't deal with it, the pain's not going to get any less. It's going to get more. Trust me. God loves you so much that his son came and died for your sin. Jesus came and took the penalty for your sin, not because you deserve mercy, but because he loves you. He loves you so much he died for you. But he also loves you so much that he doesn't leave you the way he found you. He wants to extract the sin and pain from your life and purify your life. So we try and cover up sin all the time. We do. You do it. I do it. We all do it. But God today says, don't cover up your sin. Confess it and let me cover it over with my forgiveness and my grace. That's how you deal with it. You confess it. So that's the shovel. He's digging around. Number two is the mallet. Happy birthday, Dave. The next process in refining clay is the mallet. If you don't know, Dave's last name is Mallet. And not this mallet, but that mallet. Once the clay is dug out, it needs to be pounded. You may not know this. I didn't know this. But to get the goodness out of the clay, you've got to pound it with a mallet. Now, many adults here would testify that pounding is not fun. Anybody with me? When God starts pounding things in your life, it's not fun. Things go wrong. Your decisions have bad consequences. People let you down. You feel like you're being pounded on all sides sometimes. You're not the only one. The Apostle Paul got pounded like you wouldn't believe. Shipwrecks, stonings, persecutions. This guy got pounded. But in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16, he says this. Listen to this. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Some of you here are wasting away at the moment. It's tough. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal victory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We sang that song before. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And what happens? The things of earth grow strangely dim. And it's so true. What you focus on is what you become. And if you focus on the troubles around you, guess what? You get more troubles. But if you focus on him, then you focus on the solution, not the troubles. Now, I know poundings hurt. I know some of you are hurt and discouraged, but please do yourself a favor. Take your eyes off the pain. Take your eyes off the circumstances. Stop feeling like a victim and put your eyes on Christ, who loves you and died for you, because you will begin to see reasons for the pounding in the light of eternity. So the third thing, the third instrument that the Lord will use is the wheel. Now, potters use a potter's wheel. The clay is placed in the middle, as you see up there, and it's spun round. The instrument itself consists, in the ancient times, you still see these today in places like India, it's a big stone at the bottom with a pole and a little stone on top. You put the clay on top and you move the bottom stone with your feet. And that spins the top stone as well, connected by a shaft. So in spinning it, he's able to mold the clay into something that is really superb. And sometimes we've got lots of wheels in our life. Some of us feel like we're running on a wheel like a little mouse. You remember the mice in the little cage running on a wheel? It's a lot of work, but you don't actually get anywhere. And some of you would look at your life, you say, man, we put tons of work in here. I've tried really hard, but I haven't got anywhere. And some of you will feel that in your life. See, that's the problem with the rat race. People say, oh, I'm caught up in the rat race. The problem with the rat race is that even if you win, you're still a rat. You still don't win because you're still a rat. You know, sometimes we feel like we're spinning round and around, spinning on wheels, using lots of energy, but getting nowhere. But Romans 8:28 says this. We know that all things work for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. So all things work for good. Suddenly when you see that God can use all things for good, you're not going round and around anymore. As we spin around and around, God uses all things, even the sucky ones, to mold and shape our lives. And if we don't learn that, here's the good thing. If you don't learn the lesson, you get to go round again and try the same lesson a second time, and then a third time, and then a fourth time. So my advice to you is get it. Learn the lesson and get off the spinning wheel. To quote something I heard on TV, just nimble it and move on. Just get it right and move on. So the third thing is God, so they're the instruments God uses, but the third thing is that God remakes what is malformed. Kids, when you are young, you have your whole life ahead of you. But once you're an adult, you look back on life and you realize you've made plenty of mistakes. Wrong decisions, wrong choices, wrong relationships. And how many of you know there's a biblical principle involved that you will reap what you sow? Is that true? You will reap what you sow. Whether it's good or bad, you reap what you sow. Adults have generally lived a bit, loved a bit, lost a bit, sinned a lot, and frequently messed up their lives, sometimes royally. Anybody here guilty of that? I am. Completely stuffed my life up at times. Maybe you've had wrong relationships, done the wrong things, upset people who love you, or missed countless opportunities that should have been taken. Look, we have all blown it at some stage, but here's some great news. Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, visited a potter's house. Just what you see up here, a potter's house. And he says this in Jeremiah 18. Listen to this. So I went down to the potter's house, and he was working with his wheel, and the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled. It was malformed. It didn't look good. It didn't work well. And he reworked it into another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to do. You see, if you are malformed, if things haven't gone well in your life, if your life is messed up and you've made mistakes, God does not throw you away. He reshapes you into something beautiful. He doesn't just throw you out. We live in a society, we throw everything out. We don't build things to last any time these days, do we? My mum used to darn socks. What's that? I just look and say, this darn sock, I'm throwing it away. I don't know what darning is. I chuck, if I've got a hole in my sock, I throw it away. Who darns socks anymore? Anybody? Darning is it's a bygone thing. It's something that has passed away. We don't do that anymore because we don't build things to last. We have a throwaway society. But see, if you've messed your life up, God does not throw you away. God looks right at you and he says, I'm going to reshape this person into someone who is incredible. So it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter what you did last week. God looks at you and says, I want to remold you and shape you into something beautiful, not something ugly. God is the potter and we are the clay. If we try and take over our own lives, We try and live our own way. We make mistakes, even huge mistakes. It seems to completely ruin our future, but if we just take our hands off the potter's wheel, God will put his hands there and reshape something beautiful in our life. You notice this doesn't depend on the clay. This depends on the potter. So it doesn't matter what you've done in your life, how malformed you are. It doesn't matter if you look like that. God can pick you up and use you because it depends on the potter. And he has a plan to prosper you, not to harm you. So no matter how many critical mistakes you've made, no matter how much sin you've indulged in, no matter how big a screw up you think you've made of your life, you are never, never, never beyond the care and love of the master potter. God is in the business of remolding lives, taking that which has been overlooked and discarded and making something beautiful of it. Look at Isaiah 61 verse 3. This is one of the most beautiful passages because it gives hope to people who are struggling, who are having a really hard time. Listen to this. I will give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Some of you here are mourning. Some of you are, your life is just a pile of ashes. Some of you are even in despair. But God doesn't leave you there. He sees the beauty that you could be. And he gives you beauty for your ashes. No matter how old you are, no matter how marred you are, God looks at the clay and the mess of your life and says, I can make something of this. The bottom line is, folks, you need to trust the master. The final step of creating a pot is to place it in the fire. I don't know about you, but the prospect of facing fires of adversity doesn't fill me with a lot of joy. Does it fill you with joy? Not really. But what it does is it hardens us up and it makes us useful. No one uses the clay when it's like this. It's got to be hardened and it takes a bit of heat to do that. But in this process, you have to trust him. If you're facing difficult times, you have to trust him. You have to say, Lord, what are you doing in this fire? But trust him. Don't jump out of the fire and say, I'll be all right. Don't fight it. You need to trust God when you go through this because the master is shaping your life. Romans 9:20 says this. And I love this because we do this all the time. We answer back to God. We think we can do God's job for him. God, you stay up there running the universe. I think I know what's best for my life. Look at what it says in Romans 9 verse 20. Who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Will what is molded say to him who molds it, why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right to make out of the clay, the same lump of clay, one vessel for honorable use, one for dishonorable? See, the master has a right to make what he is going to make. But we think as the clay, we can talk back to the potter and say, you can't do that, God. I want to do this. And so the clay starts to dictate to the master potter what it wants to be made into life. Folks, God is not your performing dog. He is not here to make your life happy, pleasant, and comfortable. What he wants is to make your life amazing, powerful, and world-changing. Even if it takes some pain along the way, he longs to make your life valuable, to make your life influential. He wants to mold and shape you into what he has planned for your life, not what you think he should have planned for your life. You might be humble and unseen. You might be the person who changes nations, but God has a plan for you. The question this morning is not, can God mold me and shape me into something incredible? The question is, are you ready to trust him? That's the question. I mean, if you've been living your life your way, stop right now and have a good look. If you've been away from God, if you've been doing things your way, stop right this second, take a few moments, look at your whole life and tell me how it's working out. Is it great? Is it awesome? Have you reached your full potential? Are you happy with every aspect of your life? Do you think that if you gave your heart completely to Jesus Christ right now, that he could maybe do a better job than you've done? What do you think? I reckon he could. Kids, are you ready to trust the Lord for your entire future? Are you ready to ask him in and let him lead you and guide you in what he has for you? You need to place yourself in the hands of the master potter. Let me finish with a beautiful illustration here from Amy Carmichael, who was a missionary in the early years of the 20th century. the early 1900s, serving in India. And she's an awesome lady. If you want your future to be everything it can possibly be, if you're a kid and you've got your future ahead of you, place yourself into the hands of the Master Potter. If you're an adult and you've got a list of sins and failures behind you, place yourself into the hands of the Master Potter, because it ain't over till it's over. And he can still take you and mold you and shape you and use you into something beautiful. But it's the height of foolishness to take your pot, your bit of clay, out of the Master's hands and say, I can do a better job than you. Because he made us. And he knows the future and he has a plan for us. Listen to this story. I love this story. It's a story of one who, watching the potter, thought that he could make a pot on the wheel better. And he tried and he failed. Then the potter said, sit down, you can make a pot. That I cannot do, as you can see by what I have already done, I replied. I messed it up. I cannot do this. Sit down, said the potter. And he insisted, so I did so. Then sitting behind me, he put his arms over my arms, his hands over mine, and his fingers over my fingers. And the wheel began to spin. And he said this, listen to this, do not allow your fingers to resist me. And I obeyed. And there under my fingers, to my astonishment, grew a beautiful vessel. The wheel stopped and my friend said to me, behold your pot. I said, that's not mine. But the potter said, look at your hands. There's clay on your fingers because they touched the clay. Look at mine. There's nothing on my hands. Whose hand touches the vessel, that hand makes the pot, the potter said and smiled. So many of us want to make our own vessel. But if you would let the Lord put his hands around your hands and touch your hands and lead you and guide you, if you would yield to him, if you would not resist him, then he can use his expertise to create something amazing and beautiful in your life. Hebrews 13 says this, may the God of peace equip you with every good thing that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Christ Jesus. The first step towards letting God create an amazing life for you is asking him into your life as your Lord and Savior. If you've never done it, I'm going to give you the opportunity to ask Jesus into your life. It's a simple, Lord, come into my life. I want to yield my life to you. Just the same way that potter put his hands around, his hands over the hands of that person. God wants to come into your life and change your life. He knows you've sinned, but the Bible says while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You don't have to be good enough to become a Christian. You just have to be open enough. He died for us. If you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life, we need to do that now. And the cool thing is, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. He's not going to take your old life and blend it into something. The old is gone, the new has come. He can take you in a moment. When you yield to him, when you ask Jesus into your life, he can take your life and he can, in a moment, make you into a new creation. So no matter what you've done today, or in the past, today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. He will never throw you away. But when you ask him into your life, the old life with all its sin, guilt, disappointments and worries passes away and you have a new life in Christ. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that. Would you bow your heads, please?
You've been listening to Pastor Darren Brown from Ignite Christian Church on the Sunshine Coast of Queensland, Australia. For more great teaching and information, visit www.ignitechurch.org.au.